Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and a triple-headed monster for crazy today in the Three Martini Lunch. Let's begin with the good. And, Jim, obviously, we like to throw out the proviso that one poll does not mean a whole lot by itself. We'll see if other polls hold this up as time goes on. But Marist University, which has a fairly well-respected college institute for public opinion, often they team up with the likes of NBC to put forward polls. They have relatively bad news for Republicans, I guess you could say, in the presidential race, because in states that Republicans normally do pretty well in, you have a dead heat. Trump only up 40-38 among likely voters in Arizona, 44-42 in Georgia, 42-41 in Nevada, and Hillary's up 2 in New Hampshire, although that's a little worse for Hillary than it had been. But the good news today is what's going on in the Senate races in those states. Georgia was not a real big concern for us, but given how close the presidential race is, it's good to know that Johnny Isakson is up by 15 points against his Democratic challenger, Jim Barksdale. But the other three races were thought to be very, very close. Arizona, of course, John McCain is up against Democratic Congresswoman Ann Kirkpatrick. According to this poll, he's up 57-38, with 53% saying they're locked in for him. So that race doesn't seem to be as close as a lot of people suspected. In the very close race to replace Harry Reid in Nevada, Joe Heck, the Republican congressman, is up 47-45 against Democrat Catherine Cortez Masto. And in New Hampshire, one that we really thought was slipping away from Kelly Ayotte, they've got Ayotte not only beating Maggie Hassan by 8 points, but she's over 50% at 52-44%. So, Jim, if the Republicans can hold some of those hotly contested seats, it looks like retaining a slim majority in the United States Senate is better odds right now.
Yeah, it is doable. As with whenever you see a really good result, there's an old saying we should keep in mind, you know, now show me it's not an accident. That you didn't get it right by accident. You know, maybe conceivably these might be really good poll numbers. You know, the samples might be really good for Republicans. But, you know, the idea of McCain being ahead doesn't seem enormously shocking. He's an incumbent. He's extremely well known. He's pretty well liked in Republicans. And it's a, you know, most years it's a pretty Republican state. In Nevada, it's worth noting that in a lot of states where things have not gone well for Trump, Trump has been going pretty close. So the idea of a small Republican lead out there, nice to see, and you know, sounds pretty plausible. The New Hampshire one is kind of the surprising outlier, but look, maybe this is a bit of a turning point. We should point out that for all the facts, all of the problems you know Trump has had going back to the beginning of his campaign, there was a time not that long ago when Trump was behind and it looked like a disaster, and Hillary's lead was starting to reach double digits, and most polling has it a much closer race now. He's had a pretty good couple of weeks here, so maybe that's some of the reflection here. It's worth noting, look, nobody's really that concerned about Marco Rubio anymore, showing a pretty consistent lead down there. And today on National Review Online, Eliana Johnson looks at how Rob Portman is just crushing it in Ohio, in a state where I think a lot of Republicans thought he'd have a tough reelection bid. Right now in the Real Clear Politics, he's up 10, which is a nice place to be if you're an incumbent Republican. And kind of, I think, is maybe people may end up studying that race for a long time of how do you end up doing really well in an extremely contested state, obviously one of the most important ones in the presidential election. And Rob Portman is just, you know, cleaning up doing exceptional job, getting high marks from everybody. And the Democrats have more or less already conceded it.
Yeah. Overall, do not put the Senate in the hold column quite yet. There are still several very difficult races out there. Wisconsin, Illinois, not looking good. Indiana, with Evan Bayh now jumping in recently, is going to be a tough hold for Republicans since it's an open seat. And Pat Toomey, favorite of National Review, doing much better, but still very close right now. So on to the bad martini now. And Jim, we didn't know this was a precondition for becoming Secretary of State. Maybe this is a recent development that you have to be able to funnel a lot of money to a family foundation. This is courtesy of the Daily Caller. More than $9 million of Department of State money has been funneled through the Peace Corps to a nonprofit foundation started and run by Secretary of State John Kerry's daughter, according to documents obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. The Department of State funded a Peace Corps program created by Dr. Vanessa Kerry and officials from both agencies. The Peace Corps then awarded the money without competition to a nonprofit that Kerry created for the program. Initially, the Peace Corps awarded Carey's group, called Seed Global Health, with a three-year contract worth $2 million of State Department money on September 10, 2012. Her father was then the chairman of the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations, which oversees both the Department of State and the Peace Corps. In September 2015, again without competition, Seed secured a four-year extension. This time, the Peace Corps gave the nonprofit $6.4 million provided by the Department of State while John Carey was Secretary of State. It also received almost $1 million from a modification to the first award. They also have emails in here, which they call collusion, about launching the program to ensure that Seed would win the government contract. And without competition, that shouldn't be too hard. Here's the statement from the organization Seed. No conflict of interest exists in our partnership with Peace Corps and the U.S. government. Dr. Vanessa Carey is primarily employed by and paid through Massachusetts General Hospital and Harvard Medical School. Dr. Carey receives no financial compensation from the Peace Corps or U.S. government. Funding from the Peace Corps represents about 27% of Seed's total $6.3 million budget this fiscal year. Yet, as of 2014, for the first time, Dr. Carey was the only officer listed on the nonprofit's 990 tax form to receive compensation. She got $140,000 that year for working about 30 hours a week. So, Jim, it's good to know the right people.
It is. For perspective on just how bad this scandal is, Greg,
yes.
I understand Joe Manchin said, boy, isn't Carey's daughter an embarrassment? For those who don't know that, you know, Joe Manchin's daughter is the one who runs the company that's, you know, profiting wildly off of EpiPens. You know, look, a little bit convoluted, not necessarily the most direct lines of this, but you just kind of figure that, look, if we're the State Department, we can't give contracts to people who are related to either the Secretary of State or the chairman of the committee that looks that watches over us. And apparently they didn't need to do that. And I don't know about you, Greg, I can't help but suspect if there is no real consequence for the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton and the extremely close ties between donors and their ability to – the inability to tell where the Clinton Foundation stopped and where the State Department began, this will become normalized. Everybody in politics, particularly the more powerful and influential they are going to create a foundation – and you can see me making air quotes as I say that – that'll basically be designed for either profiting – you know, a nonprofit that gets applies for grants – a way to collect donations that are totally not political, but that still the political official would control. All these sorts of ways of working around existing laws to try to avoid quid pro quos. And it's really unnerving. And unfortunately, it looks like the ballot box is really the only remaining place that Hillary Clinton can see a consequence for this. And the Clintons can get some sort of sense of, oh, wait, we can't do this. This underroads public trust in government and the idea that people were trying to profiteer from our elected positions.
Yes, this will become business as usual. But let's talk about Hillary Clinton and her health as we head into a three-headed crazy martini. Let's begin with Bill Clinton. Hillary Clinton did do an interview over the phone with Anderson Cooper on CNN yesterday, saying she didn't reveal her pneumonia diagnosis because she just didn't think it was a big deal and she figured she could power through it. She also said that, you know, she's fine. She never blacked out, yada, yada, yada. Then Bill Clinton, speaking with Charlie Rose for CBS, gave this explanation.
She just got dehydrated yesterday.
Is that what happened? She got dehydrated?
Yeah.
Because when you look at that collapse, that video that was taken, you wonder if it's not more serious.
No,
than dehydration.
If it is, it's a mystery to me and all of her doctors. Rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years, the same sort of things happened to her when she just got severely dehydrated. She's worked like a demon, as you know, as Secretary of State and as a senator and in the years since.
Interesting choice of words there, Jim. A lot of folks would on the right would agree that she's worked like a demon over the past many years. You point out in the Morning Jolt today that you've seen the transcript. It said there in that edited interview that rarely over the past many, many years she's passed out due to dehydration. He originally said frequently. No, not frequently. And then rarely over the past many, many years. This has happened a few times before because she gets dehydrated. The Hill and Politico also reporting that the real problem with Hillary Clinton is not just chronic dehydration, but the reason for it, a source telling Politico, she won't drink water. And you try telling Hillary Clinton to drink water. So this story just gets more and more bizarre all the time. The Republicans would be smart to just let the Clintons and the Democrats twist on this. The Trump campaign itself has done a pretty good job of focusing mostly on the deplorable comments. But the Trump supporters online, Jim, I'm sure you've seen this over the past 24 hours. Many of them, hopefully not half of them, are now thoroughly convinced there's a Hillary Clinton body double who appeared out of Chelsea's apartment on Sunday to say that she was all right. What is going on this year?
I can't believe that they would buy into this cockamamie idea of her having a body double, somebody who runs around being her. It's very simple. Once you know lizard people physiology, and Hillary Clinton's a lizard people. Everybody knows it's a lizard person. Everybody knows they're aliens. They've been living among us for many years. They're conspiring to control society. That's why she has the cough. She's not adjusted to Earth's atmosphere, that sort of thing. I want to go back to that Bill Clinton interview just for a second, because a transcript that was posted and sent out by CBS News, and it says things like, she's been well, it isn't a mystery to me and all of her doctors. The audio you just played, Greg, really sounds like, well, it's a mystery to me and all of her doctors. You know, like those two little letters make a very big difference.
Yes.
Because if it's a mystery to him and all of her doctors, they don't know what's wrong with her, right? That's a very big deal. But I'm assuming he's just not speaking quite so clearly. And then he says, because frequently, not frequently, rarely, but on more than one occasion over the last many, many years, the same sort of things happened to her. So it's one of those frequently, not frequently things. So, you know, and I don't know about you, I just would feel better if they had a sense of like, well, you say not frequently, is this like once a year? Is it once every 2 years? There's something a little bit weird about this. I'm calling the explanation, oh, we just can't get her to drink water. Wait, what? Everybody drinks water. Michelle Obama ran her campaign. Oh, drink more water. And all that stuff. Why, you know, and if she has a history of dehydration problems, why would she not drink water? This just seems really weird here. I get the feeling all of this is meant to be reassuring. And I just kind of feel like Bill Clinton went a little bit beyond that, because at one point he's like, oh, you know, she looked like $1 million this morning. Charlie Rose is not the guy who's going to say, oh, bull. You know, he's not going to say, he's not going to be, but he did say she has pneumonia. I mean, Greg, do you look like $1 million when you have pneumonia?
I've never had pneumonia, but I doubt
better,
it.
Right? She looked okay coming out of the Chelsea's apartment building. But you know, don't tell me she looks like $1 million. Oh, and oh, by the way, she's seriously fighting pneumonia and she's powering through. Like, there's like these two completely contradictory messages. One is, okay, we didn't tell you about it because she has pneumonia and that can be serious. And that's why she's got to stay away, stay off, rest for a couple of days and stay off the trail. And if that's the case, that makes perfect sense. And I don't understand why they couldn't have told us on Friday, why they couldn't have said, look, she caught the office bug. She's sick. She didn't want to miss the 9/11 ceremony, but she realizes that probably was a mistake and she had to leave. Okay, fine. You know. But at the same time, they're telling us everything's fine and normal and she's itching to get back there. And she's, you know, one of her spokesmen yesterday was saying, no, as soon as she got in the van, she was fine. Right. She's, you know, she's tumbling, you know, she has three people around her and still manages to fall to the ground, loses her shoe. Right. And all of a sudden, but no, the moment she was in the car, she was fine. I just don't believe these people anymore. And so apparently they're going to release more medical records this week. I think that's a good thing. I don't know, you know, Greg, she's going to have an enormous amount of scrutiny on her first physical reappearance on the trail. And, you know, hopefully she's fine. Hopefully this is nothing serious. If she stumbles once, if she coughs once, you know, the rumor mill is going to go back into it and it's going to go back at full speed again. And I'm hoping this genuinely is – everything is as they say. But because they've lied so much, it's very hard to take them at this. And I don't think Bill Clinton's, you know, no, it's really terrible, but she's fine. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. And the entire time also in the rest of that interview, he's like, well, we're going to release more medical information. And he's like, I've been telling people to do it for a long time. So are you telling me nobody on the Clinton campaign listens to Bill Clinton? And he says Hillary wanted it. She encouraged them. She said, look, let's just release them ourselves. But then why not? This is Charlie Rose saying, you know, why not do it yesterday? I don't know the answer to that. I guess it depends on the definition of the word encourage. Bill Clinton. There. So, you know, they act like, oh, I just can't understand why. I don't know about you, Greg. I remember back during the early days of the Lewinsky scandal, when there was the flat denial, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. The White House press corps said, okay, we'd really like to get her employment records. We'd really like to know when she began, when she ended, what her duties were, how many times she came in contact to verify or contradict what they were hearing in the scandal. And I distinctly remember Mike McCurry coming out and saying, look, our aim is to give you more rather than less, sooner rather than later. We're just getting the documents together. And those documents never got released. And that's just the Clinton way. No, no, it's coming. Trust us. The documents are good. Any day now, you're going to have that information. Don't worry. And then just wait for people to forget about it. And that's the Clinton method. And you fear that's what they're doing here. Hopefully they won't. Hopefully they generally will release, you know, really detailed medical records. And we'll know exactly what Hillary's health condition is.
A couple thoughts here as we exit, Jim. First of all, as fun as that Bill Clinton line of Hillary was working like a demon all these years, not even the line of the day. The line of the day is from Tim Kaine, who said Hillary's level of energy is staggering.
Breaking! Tim Kaine is now staggering.
And then he also said back when he was running for city council, hey, I had pneumonia. And then Chuck Schumer says, hey, I have pneumonia. And
so everybody's Spartacus.
That's exactly right. If you're cool, you've got pneumonia.
Cough on me. Everybody's doing it.
Let's see what we can dig up tomorrow, Jim. Talk to you then.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.